Almighty Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, we come before you at this time, on this afternoon's hour, to give glory and praise to your holy name. We thank you, Father, for the Word made flesh, Yahshua the Messiah, giving us, Father, the example of a lifetime, showing us how to overcome this world and Satan the devil through forgiveness and through love, Father. He has forgiven those that have sinned against him, and we have to do the same. So help us, Father, gain the compassion and the love that Yahshua has for the world, and that we can do the same for our enemies, our neighbors, and all those that might trespass against us. Forgive us, Father, for any sins that we've committed against our brethren. And we ask, Father, for forgiveness. And we ask, Father, that you would lift each and every one of us up, that we might serve you with gladness, Father, because you truly have given us salvation through your Son. You have redeemed your people, Father, through the blood of the Lamb. So we ask, Father, that you would help us to fulfill all the requirements of being Israel, that we would overcome this world, be the overcomers, Father, that will enter into your rest and into your kingdom. And again, we thank you for all these favors and blessings. And we ask, Father, that you would bless Maya Bailey and the rest of those that have a petition before you on the prayer list, Father. And we ask that you would truly touch each and every heart of those that are seeking to be your people. Cause each one of us, Father, to understand for us to be your people, we have to learn to love one another. So we thank you, Father, and ask for forgiveness for any sins that we've committed against anyone. And mainly it's against you, Father, that we've sinned. So we ask that you would cleanse our sin by the blood of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. And in his holy name we pray, asking all his favors and blessings. Hallelujah. Yahweh Redeems Israel is the title of this message. Yahweh Redeems Israel. We're going to start off in Micah chapter 4. That's Micah chapter 4. We'll start in verse 6. In that day, says Yahweh, will I assemble that which is lame, and I will gather that which is driven away, and that which I have afflicted. And I will make that which was lame a remnant, and that which was cast far off a strong nation. And Yahweh will reign over them in Mount Zion from now on, even forever. And you, O tower of the flock, in the Hebrew is Migdal Eder, the hill of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come. Yes, the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. Now, why do you cry out aloud? Is there no king in you? Has your counselor perished, that the pangs have taken hold of you as of a woman in travail? And we know that that woman in travail is a woman that is about to be delivered. She's pregnant. She's in her pain of childbirth. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shall you go forth out of the city and shall dwell in the field, and shall come even to Babylon. There shall you be rescued. There will Yahweh redeem you from the hand of your enemies. So he's telling us here that he's going to redeem his people from their enemies. In verse 11, and now many nations are assembled against you that say, Let her be defiled, and let our eyes see our desire upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of Yahweh, neither understand they his counsel, for he has gathered them as sheaves to the threshing floor. He's gathered the nations as sheaves to the threshing floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make your horn iron, and I will make your hoofs bronze. And you shall beat in pieces many people, and I will devote their gains to Yahweh and their substance to the sovereign of the whole earth. We know that the words of Yahweh will come to pass. It says in verse 11, many nations are assembled against you. Even today, this is true. As we see what's going on in the Holy Land, many nations have been gathered together against Jerusalem, against Israel, against Zion. But see, this is a spiritual quote as well. This is not just physical. Even though, yes, it's physical, but it's spiritual as well. Because Israel are those who have overcome, those who rule without. And we know that the physical Israelites aren't ruling without. Turn to Exodus chapter 6. And we'll start in verse 6. Exodus 6, verse 6. It says, therefore say to the children of Israel, I am Yahweh, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will free you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with a great judgment. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you an Elohim. And you shall know that I am Yahweh, your Elohim, who brings you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you. I will give it to you for a heritage. I am Yahweh. And Moses spoke so to the children of Israel, but they listened not to Moses because of anguish of spirit and because of cruel bondage. Now, they were frustrated because they were in Egyptian bondage, but Yahweh delivered them out of that bondage, just like he's delivering us out of the bondage of sin to be his people if we would accept it. We just listen to the covenant this past week, Pentecost. We went through the passages that talked about the giving of the law. So we see here that Yahweh has chosen a special group of people. That people is Israel, spiritual Israel. And we saw in verse 12, it says, but they know not the thoughts of Yahweh, back in Micah 4. Neither understand they, that means the nations, his counsel. For he has gathered them as the sheaves to the threshing floor. Are you a part of Israel or the nations? A lot of people don't understand that Yahweh, the living El, is the mighty one of Israel. Okay? Yet they want to be a part of the Gentiles, the nations. And a lot of Christians will let you know this, that they are Gentiles. See? But they're not willing to become part of Israel. They want to serve Yahweh on their terms. And we can't do that. We only have one way to serve Yahweh, and that's on his terms. Turn to Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6, we'll start in verse 1. Remember, this message is entitled, Yahweh Redeems Israel. Israel. Hear now what Yahweh says. Arise, Contend before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, O you mountains, Yahweh's controversy, and you, enduring foundations of the earth, for Yahweh has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. See? He's contending with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? And in what have I wearied you? Testify against me, for I brought you up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage. He redeemed Israel out of the house of bondage. And I set before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, remember it, from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of Yahweh. And Yahweh has been righteous to his people. He's shown those righteous acts to Israel while they were in the wilderness. With what shall I come before Yahweh and bow myself before the high Elohim? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? With calves a year old? Will Yahweh be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does Yahweh require of you but to do justly and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your Elohim. So what you have to understand here is that the nation, the people of the world, would sacrifice their firstborn son to their pagan mighty ones. See? They felt they had to do that to receive a decent harvest. They felt they had to do that because they wanted a blessing. But Yahweh didn't ask for that. He asked for us to be humble. He asked for us to show that love one for another. See? He didn't ask us to sacrifice our children. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Actually, it's very simple what Yahweh requires of us. Deuteronomy chapter 10, starting verse 12, it says, and now, Israel, what does your Elohim require of you? What does your Elohim require of you but to fear Yahweh your Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul? See, but we seem to come up with other things that we want to do. Whereas all he tells us to do is love him with all our heart and all of our soul, which is the Shema, Deuteronomy 6:4-9. To keep the commandments of Yahweh and his statutes, which I command you this day for your good. Behold, to Yahweh Elohim belongs the heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth and all that is in it. Yet Yahweh had a delight in your fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all peoples, as at this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For Yahweh, your Elohim, he is the El of Elohim, the sovereign of rulers, the great El and the mighty and the terrible, who regards not persons, nor takes reward. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner in giving him food and raiment. Therefore, love the sojourner, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. So he's telling us how we can show him that we love him. Love the sojourner, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall fear Yahweh your Elohim, him shall you serve. And to him you shall hold fast, and by his name shall you swear. He is your praise. and he is your Elohim that has done for you these great and terrible things. With your eyes, which your eyes have seen, your fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now Yahweh, your Elohim, has made you as the stars of heaven for multitude. Yahweh blessed Israel. He redeems Israel. Hebrews chapter 10. Is there someone in your life you have failed to forgive, brethren? Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to start with verse 1. Hebrews 10, 1. For the law, having a shadow of the good to come, not the very image of the things, can never, with the same sacrifices year by year, which they offer continually, make them perfect that draw near. Else they would not have ceased to be offered, because the worshiper, having been once cleansed, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is remembrance made of sins year by year. For it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away our sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offerings you would not want, but a body did you prepare for me, and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. For sin you have no pleasure. Then I said, lo, I come, in the roll of the book it is written of me to do your will, O my Elohim. Saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and the sacrifices for sin you did not want, neither have pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do your will. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second, by which will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Yahshua the Messiah once for all. And every priest indeed stands day by day ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away our sins. But he, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of Yahweh. And see, the nations, the Gentiles, still believe that they have to do some great feat or something different to serve Yahweh. But that's not true. Because when they come into the knowledge of Yahweh, they have to accept that sacrifice of Yahshua the Messiah. Because Yahweh redeems Israel. So they have to become a part of Israel. Verse 12. But he, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of Yahweh, from now on waiting until his enemies be made the footstool of his feet. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. And sanctification means set apart for a holy purpose, brethren. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after he has said, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says Yahweh, I will put my laws on their hearts, and upon their minds also will I write them. Then he says, and their sin and their iniquities will I remember no more. They're going to be forgotten. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holy place by the blood of Yahshua, by the way which he dedicated for us, a new and living way through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a great priest over the household, house of Elohim, let us draw near with a true heart and fullness of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and having our body washed with pure water, Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day drawing near. And that day is drawing near rapidly, brethren. It's drawing near rapidly. The question is, can we see it? You can if you're not Israel, because you're looking from a wrong perspective. See, most Christians are taught, you know, yes, only grace is only grace. I don't have to do anything, but I have the grace of the Messiah. I have the grace, and that's all I have to do. But it says, those that will be saved shall call on the name of Yahweh. They have to call on the name of Yahweh. It means I am eternal. Yahweh is the only mighty one that can give eternal life. Those pagan mighty ones cannot save unless they trust in Yahshua and his sacrifice and call on the name of Yahshua, which is the only name under heaven by which men shall be saved. See, this information, this knowledge is not in all men, as it says in Corinthians. But here, turn over Hebrews 10:26. Let's continue. It says, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. A man that has violated Moses' law dies without compassion on the word of two or three witnesses. Of how much more severe punishment, think you, shall he be judged worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of Yahweh and has counted the blood of the covenant with which he was sanctified an unholy thing and has done despite to the Spirit of grace. For we know him that says, vengeance belongs to me, I will repay. And again, Yahweh shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living Elohim. I was having a conversation this past week with a young man concerning these things. And he talked about being either hot or cold. You can't be lukewarm or Yahweh will spit you out of his mouth. But you know what? He did say something that was positive about being hot for Yahweh. Because if you're hot for Yahweh and you're doing the things, you will be blessed. But what about on that other end of the spectrum about being cold? You know what you're supposed to be doing. You have the commandments before you. See? The thing is, Israel chose idolatry, and they were cast away into captivity because they followed the nations in their worship. But we know the truth. And that's what we're supposed to be sharing with the people around us, our neighbors. That temple was there for the name of Yahweh. So people would see that temple sitting on the hill, and if they asked, what is that? You know, then they got the answer. That's the temple of Yahweh. That's the temple that was built for the name of Yahweh, the living Elohim. He's the only living mighty one. See, all the mighty ones of the nations were idols and are. Verse 32, it says, but call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were enlightened, that means that knowledge had come to you. You knew the truth. You knew who Yahweh was, is. You endured a great conflict of suffering, partly being made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly becoming partakers with them that were so used. For you both had compassion on them that were in bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your possessions, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and an enduring one. Cast not away therefore your boldness, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience that having done the will of Yahweh, you may receive the promise. For yet a very little while, he that comes shall come and shall not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrink back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that shrink back to perdition, but of them that have faith to the saving of the soul. See, the Hebrew brethren were made a laughingstock, you know, by the spoiling of their faith by those that came against them, see. But they were faithful in keeping the covenant, and they were receiving a blessing, even though they were going through manifold trials. And that's going to happen to us as well, brethren. But we have to understand that Yahweh redeems Israel. He's the one that's going to overcome, have us overcome this world. Turn to Romans chapter 15. The reason I asked about forgiveness, is there someone that you need to forgive? Because when we carry grudges or hate or have some negative, it destroys us. It doesn't destroy the other person. See? And forgiveness is for us. We have to go ahead and forgive those people if there's a problem. Starting of Romans 15. Now we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each one of us please his neighbor for that which is good, to edify. For the Messiah also did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach you fell upon me. But whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through patience and through comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now the Elohim of patience and of comfort grant you to be of the same mind one with another, according to the Messiah Yahshua, that you may with one accord and with one mouth glorify the Elohim of and Father of our sovereign Yahshua the Messiah. Therefore receive one another, even as the Messiah also received you, to the glory of Yahweh. For I say that the Messiah has been made a minister of the circumcision for the truth of Yahweh, that he might confirm the promises given to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify Yahweh for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will give praise to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. So he's talking about giving praise among the nations. And verse 10, and again he says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise Yahweh, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. So they have to get to know the name of Yahweh as well. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be the root of Jesse, and he that arises to rule over the Gentiles. On him shall the Gentiles hope. But how can they hope on someone that they have no knowledge of? Yahweh redeems Israel. So they have to come to the knowledge of Yahweh. They have to come to the knowledge of the sacred name and know of whom they're worshiping and not some idol. There's the difference. They have to get rid of that idol and accept the true, living, mighty one and the Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. Verse 13, it says, now the Elohim of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may increase in hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we know the Holy Spirit is given in what? In the name of Yahshua the Messiah, not in that other name. See? He gives his Holy Spirit to them that obey. And what are they obeying? The covenant. They're keeping the law. Yahshua says in Matthew 5, 17 to 20, that he didn't come to destroy the law. He didn't come to take it away. He came to fulfill it. See? Verse 14, and I myself am also persuaded of you, my brethren, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to also to admonish one another. But I write the more boldly to you in some measure as putting you again in remembrance because of the grace that was given me of Yahweh, that I should be a minister of the Messiah, Yahshua, to the Gentiles, ministering the good tidings of Yahweh, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be made acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. They have to be set apart by that Holy Spirit as well. I have therefore, in verse 17, my glory in the Messiah Yahshua and things pertaining to Elohim. For I will not dare to speak of anything save those which the Messiah performed through me. For the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and all around Illyricum, I have fully preached the good tidings of the Messiah, yes, making it my aim so to preach the good tidings, not where the Messiah was already named, that I might not build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, they shall see to whom no tidings of him came. And they who have not heard shall understand. So Paul went out and made disciples of the Gentiles. In verse 22 it says, therefore I was also hindered these many times from coming to you. And this is in Rome. But now having no more any place in these regions, and having these many years a longing to come to you whenever I go to Spain, for I hope to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way there by you. If first in some measure I shall have been satisfied with your company, but now I say I go to Jerusalem ministering to the saints, for it has been the good pleasure of Macedonia and Achaia, to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints that are at Jerusalem. Yes, it has been their good pleasure, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of the spiritual things, they owe it to them also to minister to them the carnal things. So what Paul is saying is that, you know, they're being blessed with the spiritual things that have been given to the Jews, the worshiper of Yahweh. So therefore, we're going to take some of the offerings, their carnal offerings, their financial blessings, and give it to the saints that are in Jerusalem that are suffering. Verse 28, it says, when therefore I have accomplished this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will go on by you to Spain, and I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessings of the Messiah. So his hope was still to get to Rome, as this letter he's writing to the servants of Yahweh in Rome. And he did get to Rome. We know that for a fact. Verse 30, it says, now I beseech you, brethren, by our sovereign Yahshua the Messiah, and by the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to Yahweh for me, that I may be delivered from them that are disobedient in Judea. And we know from what I preached on Pentecost about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the leaders of Israel, who were disobedient. See? And that they were trying to destroy the work of Yahweh. That my ministration, which I have for Jerusalem, may be acceptable to the saints, and that I may come to you in joy through the will of Yahweh, and together with you find rest. Now the Elohim of peace be with you all. Amen. And Paul was blessed in his journey. He did make it. Psalm 140. Remember, this is entitled Yahweh Redeems Israel, and Paul was a part of Israel. Psalm 140, verse 1. Deliver me, O Yahweh, this is a psalm of David, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man who devises mischief in their heart. Continually they shall gather themselves together for war. They have sharpened their tongue like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Selah. Keep me, O Yahweh, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have purposed to thrust aside my steps. The proud have hid a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set traps for me, Selah. And you saw how they were trying to kill Paul, just like they tried to kill Joshua. They tried to set traps. They had to let Paul down in a basket to get out of some of the traps that had been laid for him. But this is David talking about the traps that were set for him. I said to Yahweh, you are my El. Give ear to the voice of my supplication, O Yahweh. O Yahweh, the sovereign, the strength of my salvation, you have covered my head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Yahweh, the desires of the wicked. Further not his evil device, lest they exalt themselves, Selah. As for the head of those that compass me about, let the mischief of their own lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into the deep pits where they shall not rise. An evil speaker shall not be established in the earth. Now think about that statement. An evil speaker shall not be established in the earth. And we know in the last days what's going to happen. You have those false, those wicked spirits as frogs that are going to be evil speakers. Evil shall hunt the violent man to overthrow him. I know that Yahweh will maintain the cause of the afflicted. Yahweh is going to maintain the cause of his people, of Israel, because Yahweh redeems Israel. And justice for the needy. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence. Almighty Yahweh is blessing a people today. He's blessing a people who are sincere. Turn to Psalm 25. This is actually my favorite psalm. Psalm 25. We're going to start in verse 14. It says, the friendship of Yahweh is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. He shows his covenant to those that become friends of his, that are keeping his laws. My eyes are ever toward Yahweh, for he will pluck my feet out of the net that has been set for me. See, because the evil people are setting these traps, but he's going to pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my travail, and forgive all my sins. And that's what we're asking Yahweh to do, to forgive all of our sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. This is what David is saying to Yahweh. I take refuge in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O Elohim, out of all his troubles. And we know from Psalm 34, it says just that. We're not going to turn there, but it says in Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahweh delivers him out of them all. Yahweh redeems Israel, brethren. They are his people. Turn to Numbers chapter 30. Numbers 30, verses 1 and 2. See, we've all entered in a vow with Yahweh. It says, and Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which Yahweh has commanded. When a man vows a vow to Yahweh, or swears an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. When we were baptized in the name of Yahweh, in Yahshua's name, we accepted the covenant that we would follow this path, that we would keep this covenant for the rest of our lives. This is what we declared. And this is what we must do. Leviticus 27, verses 28. Leviticus 27, verse 28, we'll read down through the end of the chapter. It says, however, no devoted thing that a man shall devote to Yahweh of all that he has, whether of man or beast, or of the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy to Yahweh. No one devoted that shall be devoted from among men shall be ransomed. He shall surely be put to death, whoever does this. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is Yahweh's. It is holy to Yahweh. And if a man will redeem any of his tithes, he shall add to it the fifth part of it. And all the tithe of the herd of or the flock, whatever passes under the rod, the tenth, shall be holy to Yahweh. He shall not search whether it is good or bad, neither shall he change it. And that for which it is changed shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which Yahweh commanded Moses for the children of Israel on Mount Sinai. Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29, we'll start in verse 9. It says, therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. All of you are standing here today before Yahweh Elohim, your heads, your tribes, your elders, your officers, even all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and your sojourners that is in your camps, from the cutter of your wood to the draw of your water. And we know that was the Gibeonites that deceived Yahshua, the general, and Israel, because they didn't want to be destroyed. But they made a covenant to be cutters of wood and drawers of water. But what about the Egyptians? There were some Egyptians that left Egypt as well. It says in Exodus chapter 9, where he was talking to Pharaoh about the hail. He says, do you still, in verse 17, exalt yourself against my people, that you will not let them go? Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause to rain a very grievous hail, such as has not been in Egypt since the day it was founded, even until now. Now therefore send, hurry in, your cattle, and all that you have in the field, for every man and beast that shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. And he that feared the word of Yahweh among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of Yahweh left his servants and his cattle in the field. So we see here that there are people, there are Gentiles, there are nations out there that if they fear Yahweh, they will be redeemed just as Israel, because they're going to have to be a part of Israel. They have to become a part of it because Yahweh redeems Israel. It says, verse 12, that you may enter into the covenant of Yahweh Elohim and into his oath, which Yahweh Elohim makes with you this day, that he may establish you this day to himself for a people, that he may be to you an Elohim as he spoke to you, as he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that stands here with us this day before Yahweh Elohim, and also with him that is not here with us this day. And that's talking about us, brethren, because we weren't there. For you know how we dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations through which you passed. And you have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone and silver and gold, which were among them. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away this day from Yahweh your Elohim, to go to serve the Elohim of those nations. Lest there should be among you a root that bears gall and wormwood. And it comes to pass, when he hears the words of this curse, that he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart, to destroy the moist with the dry. Yahweh will not pardon him. But then the anger of Yahweh and his jealousy will smoke against that man, and all the curse that is written in this book shall lie upon him. And Yahweh will blot out his name from under heaven. And Yahweh will set him apart to evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that is written in this book of law. See, Yahweh, it says that we may do all the words of this law. Is Yahweh's hand shortened that it cannot save? And the answer is no. In Isaiah chapter 50, Isaiah chapter 50, verse 2, it says, why? When I came, there was no man. When I called, there was none to answer. Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem or cannot save? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness, their fish stink, because there is no water, and die for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their coverings. Yahweh is the one that makes these things come to pass, brethren. We have to understand that, and we have to be willing to do that which is right in his sight each and every time. Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 1. It says, listen to me, you that follow after righteousness. You that seek Yahweh, look to the rock from where you were hewn, where you were cut, and to the hole of the pit from where you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah that bore you, for when he was but one, I called him, and I blessed him and made him many. For Yahweh has comforted Zion. He has comforted all her waste places, and has made her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of Yahweh. Joy and gladness shall be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Attend to me, O my people, and give ear to me, O my nation. For a law shall go forth from me, and I will establish my justice. For a light to the peoples, and my righteousness is near, my salvation has gone forth, and my arm shall judge the peoples, the isle shall wait for me, and on my arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall grow old like a garment, and they that dwell in it shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Listen to me, you that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. That's the covenant. And it's supposed to be in each and every one of our hearts. Fear not the reproach of men, neither be dismayed at their reviling. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation to all generations. To all generations. Awake, awake. Put on strength, O arm of Yahweh. We know the arm of Yahweh is Yahshua the Messiah, brethren. As in the days of old, the generation of ancient times, is it not you that cut Rahab in pieces, that pierced the monster? Is it not you that dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, that made the depths of the sea a way for the redeemed to pass over? And that redeemed was Israel. Yahweh redeems Israel. He's still doing it to this day, brethren. And the ransomed of Yahweh shall return and come with singing to Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Yahweh's hand is not short that it cannot save, brethren. He is going to save his people. We just have to be faithful. We have to do what Yahweh commands us to do. Turn to Exodus chapter 15. And this is the song to Yahweh, the song of Moses. Exodus 15, verse 11 says, who is like you, O Yahweh, among the Elohim? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, and the earth swallowed them. You and your mercy have led the people that you have redeemed. That word redeemed is number 1350 in the concordance. Strong's. I need you to look it up. Number 1350. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. The peoples have heard, they trembled. Pangs have taken hold on the inhabitants of Philistia. When then were the chiefs of Edom dismayed, the mighty men of Moab trembling takes hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan are melted away, and dread falls upon them. By the greatness of your arm, they are still as a stone. Till your people pass over, O Yahweh, till the people that you have purchased. And he purchased us through the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. You will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, the place, O Yahweh, which you have made for you to dwell in, the sanctuary, O Yahweh, which your hands have established. Yahweh shall reign forever and ever. And we know this is coming to pass, brethren. And it's coming to pass real soon. Turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. Galatians 3, verse 7, it says, know therefore that they that are of faith, the same, are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing the Elohim would justify the Gentiles, the nations by faith, preach the good tidings beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then they that are of faith are blessed with the faithful Abraham. For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who continues not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. It doesn't tell us that we don't have to do them anymore. It tells us, cursed is everyone who continues not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Now that no man is justified by the law before Yahweh is evident, for the righteous shall live by faith, which is from Habakkuk 2:14, which we read earlier. And the law is not of faith, but he that does them shall live in them. the Messiah redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone who hangs on a tree, that upon the Gentiles, the nations, might come the blessing of Abraham and the Messiah Yahshua, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians chapter 4, starting verse 1. It says, but I say that so long as the heir is a child, he differs nothing from a bondservant, though he is owner of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the appointed day of the Father. So we also, when we were children, were held in bondage under the rudiments of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, Yahweh set forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law, the penalty of the law, that he might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, Yahweh sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, so that you are no longer bondservant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of Yahweh through Yahshua the Messiah. Brethren, Yahweh redeems Israel. We have to become Israel. We have to become overcomers of this world. Turn to Titus chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 11. Titus chapter 2. Verse 11. This will be our closing passage. For the grace of Yahweh has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that denying lawlessness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and holy in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of the great Elohim and our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, from all sin, and purify to himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority, and let no man despise you. Because Yahweh redeems Israel, brethren. And all the people of this earth that want to be saved have to become a part of Israel. They have to shed that former knowledge of sin and gain the blessing from on high through the sacrifice of Yahshua the Messiah's shed blood. And then they can receive salvation, redemption, as heirs of the kingdom of Yahweh. May Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of us as we seek to do his will each and every day. Let's humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, we come before you at this time seeking redemption. We know, Father, that you redeem Israel, those who have overcome this world, those who are keeping your covenant law. Let us show the love we have one for another, Father, by the compassion we have on our neighbors, even our enemies. Help us, Father, as we overcome this world, as we seek to do that which is right in your sight, each and every opportunity, be faithful. Help us, Father, to be faithful. Help us to overcome this world and Satan the devil as we resist him that he might flee far from us. Father, we know that we can overcome him with love because truly, regardless of what he does, we just control our reaction. We can't control what happens to us from an outside source, but we can control our reaction. So help us, Father, through the love of Yahshua the Messiah, help us to overcome this world. Help us to walk in faith and to do that which is right in your sight. Help us to feed your sheep, to do that which is necessary that you've given us the ability to do, regardless of where the brethren are, whether it's our neighbor who's next to us or whether it's our neighbor who's across the globe. Help us to do your will in these last days, that we might receive a blessing as we seek to overcome this world. And we thank you, Father, for your redemption and for the blessing of Yahshua the Messiah. In Yahweh's holy name, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. Says I'm not connected. Oh, man. It says we were frozen. So...